High calling.
I brought you a little gift. And I hope you'll like it. This gift is for you. I didn't make it. It's from David. And this gift is a promise from God. Enjoy the gift. Let's unwrap it a little bit more. This is a psalm from God, from David, which was presenting us a gift from God, his precious promise that there will be blessing and life forevermore. It's a beautiful picture of Jesus as a Christ, Jesus and the Christ, picturing how pleasant it is for our Lord to see how brethren are dwelling in unity. Something so precious, like that oil which was coming down upon the head and all members of his body. We can even imagine how refreshing and how great was the dew of Hermon, life-giving dew coming down upon the mountain of Zion, where and through our God gave life forevermore. Prophetic words from the David about the blessings to all. Blessing of the everlasting life. What a beautiful gift. Who doesn't like gifts? Everybody appreciates it and everybody likes it. And it's a double joy. Once for those who are receiving gift. And we can even picture children once They see their relatives coming in from the far. They are waiting and hoping for a gift. And sometimes it's a little gift, but they are appreciating very much. And we who are giving this gift, aren't we happy? Are we enjoying it to see them, that they appreciate it? There are gifts and marketing techniques where people are using gifts to attract even more people. They are saying, if you come, we'll give you a free gift. People like gifts. And the book, what we have today, which sustains so many years, we have so many gifts in there. So many God's promises, which were fulfilled, are fulfilled, and will be fulfilled in the future. Because He is a faithful. He is a faithful God who will keep His word and keep His promises. Speaking of gifts, the biggest gift which we received, it's a gift of our Lord, His ransom for all, for everybody, and another gift, which is a high calling, the calling to everyone. He is calling a special class. He is addressing it to very special people, His followers, the church. The high calling promise, the special gift is very important. In John 17 chapter and 22 to 24 we read, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before foundation of the world." What a great goodness of God. Glory, His glory giving to Jesus, and through Jesus to the Christ. Glory that thou gavest me, I gave them. There is lots of promises, and there are gifts for everyone. The new creation, those who are running to be a church members, as well as for all mankind, everybody. God wants us to take this gift and appreciate it. Our Lord, as a perfect gift, perfect offering, bought us by the precious offer. We are happy. We are happy for gifts from God. And the high calling is evidence of God's love, our extraction from death. The gift of high calling is, though, valid only through the gospel age. It is now. He gave it to us for the time being. And this is our desire of our heart, to fulfill those promises, to fulfill our service to Him. And it is up to God then to decide, to see who will be in that high calling, who will be in the church. Even our Lord pointed that this is not His to give. It belongs to the Father. Let's read the story, which is in Matthew 20 chapter, from 21 to 23. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She said unto him, Grant that these two my sons might sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye not know what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. And he said unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. This is nobody else but the Father who may decide. No one else is calling except God. We live in the times, and we can recall from the past that there was many who were calling to their organizations, to their group, and saying this is only them who will be saved. If not us, if you will not be with us, you will not be saved. But this is up to the God. This is not up to us, up to the men to decide. So, who is called? I think we all know well the Matthew 11 chapter and 28 verse, which our Lord said, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We do hear so many which have trials and are going through the very harsh times to go through. The rest is in Jesus. He is calling us. Take my cross. 1 Corinthians 1:26 to 28, we read, For behold your calling, brethren, that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God chose the foolish things of the world that might put to shame them that are wise, and God chose the weak things of the world that he might put to shame the things that are strong. And the base things of the world and the things that are despised did God choose, yea, that the things that are not, that he might bring to naught the things that are. Why is it like this? Why God doesn't choose so many wise, highly educated people? Because God have a different criteria than a man. Do you remember the scripture which is taken from 1 Samuel 16:17? This is explaining what God is looking at. 1 Samuel 16:17 says, For man looketh on the outward appearance, but Jehovah looketh on the heart. And that's the criteria. The Lord is looking what kind of heart we have, what conditions of our heart is. Are we ready to serve? Our Lord is inviting us to be with him. He is calling us and inviting us. And in Revelation 3:20, there is very interesting scripture. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me. Our heart and the door Jesus is knocking to our hearts. But these doors are very different than any other doors, because the handle of that door is only inside. He will knock. If we will open, if you will accept, if you will say, "Yes, Lord, we want to serve you," He will come in. He will help us out. But He will not open the door for us. We have to accept it, and we have to say, "Yes, Lord, I want to serve you." The purpose of the high calling. What is it? The purpose is to choose a very special class of those who will help to restore the mankind and bring them to the harmony with God. Apostle Peter is telling us very well-known scriptures. In 1 Peter 2:9, Peter is telling us, "But ye are chosen generation, a royal priesthood, holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who had called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." This is a very careful choice, the calling of the very peculiar people. And this is not something which just happened in the gospel age. We can see that God is choosing, making His choices very carefully. Remember Jacob? That was a very peculiar man. He was chosen. Then, very special nation, Israel. And within that Israel, He chose a special tribe of Levi, choosing very peculiar people with a good heart and with a special kind of service for them. Royal priesthood. Remember Levi? He was a priest. He was not a king. The king during those days were completely separate from the priest. But high calling is to be priests and kings, like Melchizedek was. The new creation at their victory will be priests and will also the rule of the earth with the Lord. We are talking about holy nation. But this is not about how should we feel now. We should not feel really holy by ourselves. The holiness is through our Lord. And that's how God is looking at those who He called. He's looking through the Jesus, our Lord, and His offer on the cross. And this, brethren, is the preparation of the new creation. Preparation to teachers and those who will assist in preparing the world to receive everlasting life. They will bring people to harmony with God. And in Philippians 3:14, Apostle Paul is using that term, high calling. Let's read it. "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ." We have to have it in mind. There is nothing we can do ourselves. Although we open the door from inside, we need Christ Jesus to help us out, to make our calling and election sure. In Ephesians 1, 4 and 5, we read, "According as He hath chosen us in Him before foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the God pleasures of his will. Children of God, those who inherit those wonderful promises and being shaped now to receive the glory as the reward later. And it was in his plan before foundation of the world. And that hope we have with the salvation and the hope for all, for hope for the whole world, everybody, not only us. Wouldn't it be sad to be in the kingdom and see only ourselves, not that neighbor who did so much good things to us, yet he didn't answer to the calling? There is hope and resurrection for all. That great promise in Romans 8 chapter and 17 verse, which is saying that if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Brethren, all the world is waiting for God's kingdom to become the children which will be free from sin and death. We are children of God, and we live because of him. Let's look at the few features of the high calling. Love. Respect to brethren, showing in our speaking, in our behavior, as it should be between wife and husband. This is what Apostle Paul gave us in his scripture from 5th chapter 20 to 32. And we are talking about a good marriage picture, not what we see today, lack of respect. In 5:21 we read, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. But in those old scriptures which Apostle Paul is speaking to us, he is ending in 32nd verse. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. That was the picture of taking care of each other, how it's supposed to be in the church. Another aspect is knowledge. We need to know what do we believe. We don't have a time to read the whole story, but I'm very sure that all of you remember Gideon. One of my favorite stories from the days once I was a child. There was a calling. Those who are lords. And there was an answer. 32,000 people answered, yes, we are the lords. We love the Lord. But God said to Gideon, this is too much. And first test was where Gideon said, who is afraid, who is not sure, has some different commitments, family. They have privilege of choosing now. High calling, this is for those who can give up those things. And returned out of that, 22,000 people went back. That's the big number. There was no penalty for them to turn around. 10,000 left. And then God says, no, this is still too much. And remember that test of drinking water. This is a very nice lesson which we don't have too much time to go through. However, we know that only 300 men left. Out of 32,000 people, only 300 make it. Because they were looking what they are drinking. They were looking at the way how to assimilate the knowledge. Are we able to read the Bible and think over those doctrines which are there? Listen of the biblical statements and judge if they are coming really from the Bible. We have to deepen them, study them together, and making sure that we do understand them. Engagement. Speaking of engagement, the story which came to my mind was the Ruth. History of Ruth, which is, again, very well known. And her confession to say, "Thy God is my God." And she said that aloud before many. And we need to do the same. The Ruth said, we are reading from Ruth, 1st chapter and 16th verse. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." She left her other family, a culture, her tradition for God. Especially the big price to pay is for young people. They have a whole life. They choose to shape their lives for God. In Romans 10:9 we read that, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, that shall be saved." We need to confess, brethren, with our mouth. And we had that example yesterday when we saw those who confess in front of everybody. "Yes, thy God is my God." Perseverance. Perseverance in our work for the Lord and in our life. Do you remember, can you recall the hikers? Why they are hiking those mountains? And we will ask them, they say, "We don't know, we must do it." Sometimes they're going through the rough times. I recall the man which I met. He was doing very extreme sport and mountain biking, riding on the down the hill, the mountain, with a big speed and jumps and so on. I said, "Why you do it?" "Well, I have to do it. I must do it." As a matter of fact, he was building the trials in there. And all of a sudden, his tools get stolen. Did they stop him? No. Somebody else bought him tools. Continue. Then he had an accident. He seriously hurt his leg. Did he stop him? No. Then after a while, I didn't see him. He had a big accident. He broke his ribs and wrists. I asked him, "So now you will stop?" He said, "No, I don't think I will die in natural way." That was his answer. Do we have this attitude? Do we have this big desire and answer to high calling? "No matter what, I will follow you." And we do have the examples between the brethren. I was talking to brethren who are doing the radio broadcasts for 18 years. Brethren, this convention here started 75 years ago, and brethren are doing it every year. Romans 2:7. "To them who by patient continuous in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life." That's for those who are persevere. Diligence. Working hard as a root. Charity in the small things. It doesn't have to be a big thing to do. Lord is looking for our heart. How do we work for him? Brethren, in 2 Timothy 3:8, Apostle Paul is telling us, "Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we may not be a chargeable to any of you." Thinking not to be a charge to any brother, and working diligently for the Lord and to fulfill what is before us. And another promise from God In Hebrews 6:10, Apostle Paul is telling us, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." Every work which is done for brethren, for God and his labor will be rewarded. God will not forget those. Let's do it diligently. Having done all, stand. And stand with the armor. In Ephesians, Apostle Paul is showing the whole armor, how we should be armed in there. And in 13 verse, he is ending, having done all, stand. Having done all, stand firmly and trust firmly. This is difficult to stand. But why? Sometimes we are standing and being teared down by trials, tests, and difficult years of faithfulness. This is a big test of standing. And we should keep in mind never to say the words that it was easier in the past, clearer before, and now we are doubting. Apostle Paul in Philippians told us, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God Christ in Christ Jesus." Our eyes should be fixed on Jesus and nobody else. Only looking at Jesus will guarantee us that we will not go off the narrow way. We appreciate the work of all brethren, all those who made such a great work for him. But our eyes has to be fixed on Jesus. Because if those will be not around, who will be following? Jesus will be always before us. And having our eyes fixed on him will help us to hold on to that narrow way, which is very difficult, narrow and uphill. Brethren, in closing, I would like to finalize a few points. Very few are called. And we have to answer the knocking to the door, because there is no door handle outside. Only we can open our hearts for the Lord. Then, with diligence and perseverance to serve our Lord. And even towards the end of our walk, having done all, stand. Stand firmly in the faith and truth. The great gift of promises from the book of precious gifts. I have one more gift for you. For the closing of those thoughts, I have a gift which is a promise. And within that promise is exact date and time. This is very interesting date and very interesting time. And it is more interesting that nobody who is following Jesus will question that date, will doubt in that date, or argue about that date. And this is exact point, and this is a point which will happen in our lives for each of us. I would like to close with the words from Revelation 2:10. Be thy faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life, which I wish you will be part of. May the Lord add his blessings.